You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome to the Ash Wednesday edition of A Seeking Heart. Here we are in Lent. I know I have been excitedly waiting for this day because I'm a total Catholic dork and I absolutely love Lent. You know, supposed to love it. It's not supposed to make you this joyful, but I can't explain it. I just love it. I love the coming together and searching God and trying to grow in grace and holiness together. It's awesome. Or as we say in Boston, it's wicked awesome. It's totally wicked. It's pissa. It's pissa awesome. It's just amazing. And we're here. It's Ash Wednesday, and I just took a week and a half off. I hope you enjoyed the encores. I was very thoughtful in choosing them and really just excited to see that there were so many people who tuned in and got to relive those wonderful moments on the encore shows. But we're back and we're ready for Lent. We are rocking and rolling for this March. Yeah, and it's March too, to boot. Like, when did that happen? So part of my vacation, it was to spend time with my daughter home from school. And then I went to Minnesota. Yes, it's supposed to be Minnesota. But when I got there, there was no snow anywhere. Nowhere. And we're supposed to get a blizzard, and God is so good, and he didn't send that either. So no blizzards, no snow on the ground, but beautiful women. I met so many incredible people. I even got to meet, I think, I lost count, but somewhere around nine, I'm pretty sure it was nine social media virtual friends I got to meet in real life. And that was pretty cool too. I'm going to talk about those during today's show. I'm going to talk about the weekend and just the incredible faith experiences that I was blessed to encounter and what lessons those taught me. And I hope that they help you as well, because that's the whole point of A Seeking Heart, is for us to join together our hearts and seek Christ together. Whatever I experience, I hope that it's something that touches your heart and the Lord uses my life, my words, my work to bring you closer to him. It's all about him. And if you want to join the conversation, I invite you on at 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. That number can be used as a text or a phone call if you want to come on and chat with me live this morning. If you ever want to send any messages about the show, you're listening on podcast after, you can always send me a message at info@reconciledtoyou, Allison at Breadbox Media. You can go to Facebook. Oh, I pray you have not left Facebook for Lent. Every time I see somebody, you know, logging off for Lent, it breaks my heart. This is the time that people are searching for God more than any other time of the year, and they need good, faithful witnesses there on social media to answer their questions, to be there, to pray for them, to support them. And everybody leaves. Makes me crazy. I was really happy to see a few more saying, no, I'm staying this year, but I just read about five fair Facebook farewells. Sorry, the Lord can still use that time for people searching, but oh, it just makes me sad. Maybe I just like the company. But I hope that you're staying on social media. And if you are, you can, there's a couple of ways we can Lent together over on social media. Of course, you can always go to Reconcile to You or A Seeking Heart Facebook pages, post there daily. During Lent this year, I am facilitating the WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, Walk in Her Sandals, Lenten Facebook, online group or virtual book club, I guess we could call it. Yep, the Lenten Book Club. There's a few different ways to participate in that. But if you go to CatholicVineyard.com, click on the little icon right down on the front page that says Lenten Book Club. It gives you all the information. And that includes a WINE Lenten Book Club. That's the name of it, WINE Lenten Book Club group on Facebook, where I'll be posting every day a quote from the book, and we'll be having discussion around it, posted my first. I can tell that it's going to be just crazy fruitful, because yesterday, in the middle of the hubbub, trying desperately to get everything completed and online and correct, my internet went down. And it, like, there was no rhyme to a reason to it. I just couldn't fix it. And my husband comes home and takes my computer, Mr. Network. I like pushes a few buttons and he's like, you haven't lost internet. I'm like, yeah, I did. It's just the timing. You get the perfect timing. You know, it's like when you're trying and trying to open something like a can or, I mean, the top of a pickle jar, and then the person walks over and they just pop and it comes right off and you're like, yeah, I just worked at that. Like, it was all in the timing. I did the hard work for you. Anyway, we'll be doing that, the Wine Lenten Book Club, Walk in Her Sandals. Amazing book, just amazing. And part of my amazing weekend was I got to meet 5 of the 10 authors in person. Well, one of them was Lisa Hendy, and I'd already met her, but I got to meet Lisa, right, that's not her name. Her name's Kelly Walquist. And I got to meet Sarah Crismeyer and Stephanie Lansom and Carol Younger, who all wrote for this magnificent book, Walk in Her Sandals. And it was just an all-around incredible weekend. You know, sometimes God gives you so much. For me, this was like a retreat weekend. You know, I wasn't out there working. I was there, you know, promoting or, you know, trying to encourage people to do the Walk in Her Sandals book club, but also just kind of getting a feel for the beautiful women and men who are, you know, on this journey with me. Like, what is it that we're searching? What do we need to get through our Lent, to get through this journey here on earth as we try to draw closer to God? And it's just good sometimes to get out of your home, because I work here. I'm always here. I'm alone. Sometimes, I mean, the social media is wonderful. I can't imagine, you know, how isolated or crazy I would be without being able to reach out through social media. What a gift the Lord has given us in that. But just, you know, just trying to get a feel for what people are looking for and needing, and getting to meet so many beautiful, beautiful people. If you're listening for the first time and you were at the Wine Minnesota Conference, welcome. And I'm just, know that you are on my heart. You've been in my prayers. So many of you just really touched my heart. I'm going to talk a little bit about the conference in a bit. I just want to kind of go in order of what happened. You know, the first thing that happened was I flew into Minnesota on Thursday. I'm not the greatest travel person. I'm getting better. I just try to stay very prayerful, just let the Holy Spirit guide me, keep my guardian angel close by. But the first thing I was called to do was to meet somebody I never met before, then go stay at her house, which is totally out of my comfort zone. You know, I really like those hotel rooms by myself, though, of course, there's anxiety with that as well. But to just be welcome into somebody's home and, you know, like, it's just, it's always been so awkward. But this time was very different because Jane is a rock star. This woman, like, oh my goodness, she has such a heart for hospitality. In fact, you know, the story of Mary and Martha, Martha was, you know, getting the meal ready, getting her home ready for Jesus to come visit. She's Lazarus's sister, along with her other sister, Mary. And, you know, she's running around like a chicken with her head cut off, and she's serving and she's preparing and she's cleaning, and their house is being filled with people, visitors, unexpected visitors and guests. And her sister, who's supposed to be helping her, she sees sitting at the feet of Jesus, just kind of sitting while she's being a crazy lady trying to prepare and take care of everybody. Now, I'm more of a Mary, and I don't really get the whole Martha thing, but I'm sure you do. And you're totally the one who would have gone up to Jesus, just like Martha did, and say, Jesus, do you see what my sister's doing? Like, hello, expecting him to be 100% on your side. Of course, expecting him to be on your side, because your sister's being a lazy oaf and you're killing yourself, you know, serving. And Jesus calls us for a heart of service. We're supposed to be taking care of people. And she's just sitting there, and Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha. I know I can't say Martha correctly. That was the big joke with me in Minnesota. I can't say Martha. And I know I'm accentuating Minnesota. It's just fun to say it that way. Anywho, by the way, all the women in Minnesota are totally gigantically tall, and I felt very, very teeny. I don't know what they feed them out there, but they grow them very tall. So, you know, this Jane that I met, oh, so back to Jesus says, you know, Martha, Martha, are you worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. And because we need both times, we both need to serve and have a heart for service and to have time to sit at the feet of Jesus and to take in his teaching, his love, his promises, and all that he has. But, you know, that heart of Martha, who wants to serve and care for people and is got such a heart for hospitality, that is a gift too. And we see that later in the Gospels, that she is blessed as well. And Jane had that. She had that in spades. And I felt so at home instantly. I think we ended up talking for about 2 hours. And then she brought me to the Cathedral of St. Matthew in St. Paul for 5:30 Mass. It was just a gorgeous place. What a wonderful way to start my vacation, my time there in Minnesota. And, you know, for somebody who has anxiety, any time that you're given this great opportunity to come into prayer, to be with Jesus, to receive Jesus, is a gift. And it really just set the stage for what would be an incredible 5 days. And I'm going to talk more about that when we get back and how it relates to preparing ourselves for Lent. Here we are on Ash Wednesday, and it is time for this 40-day journey to begin. I don't know what you're giving up or what you're adding. It should be a balance of both. We're going to talk a little bit that at the very end of the show, Allison's Lenten plan, maybe give you some ideas and talk about that balance that we need, you know, giving up to make more time for Christ. But I hope that you will, you know, share, come on Facebook, if you're still on, join me at Reconcile to You or at A Seeking Heart, or of course at Wine, Women in the New Evangelization. Join the Wine Lenten Book Club. Just, you know, let's share our hearts together and journey Lent together. Where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. We'll be back with more of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras right here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I just got an email that my care note is available from Abby Press. This is my first care note. What's a care note? A care note is these little pamphlets that Abby Press produces, and they're on many different topics, on grief, on parenting, on depression, all kinds of things, like just a plethora of them. And I wrote one that was called Good Enough Parenting. I don't know. I was trying to find this one. I was a little late coming in with the intro because I was on the internet going quickly because they just said it was available for, I think it's coming out March 3rd. Maybe it's just I can get it early. Anyway, I'm very excited to share that with you. It's 25 cents usually. So I'm going to be buying, or maybe 70 cents. I don't know. They're not expensive. They're less than a buck to get this wonderful little care note. So I'm going to order some for some of the upcoming events. I have tons of events coming up in Lent. So blessed. If you go to reconciletoyou.com and click on events, maybe there'll be one near you that you can come and join me. And if there isn't one near you, let's talk about getting me out there. Let's talk about bringing Reconcile to Ministries into your church and forgiveness, joy, trust. Though I'm still, I love it that the Lord calls me to talk on these subjects where I'm still such a work in progress on these subjects, which I think is like the human condition. We never kind of figure all this stuff out. Anyway, if you want to talk about coming out, I would love to come do a morning or a full day retreat. Go to reconciledyou.com for more information. And hopefully I'll have the care notes up there shortly too. Good enough parenting, that whole, you have no idea what to expect when you're expecting. And then you're given this little person and it doesn't really come with any instructions. And then you do your best. And you're just always going to feel like you didn't do enough. And then they grow up and become 21-year-old men. And my son, other son's going to be 18 on Monday, next Monday. Crazy. And you think, what did I do? Like, why didn't I do this better? Why didn't I do that better? And then you just have to at some point recognize you did the best you could. God loves them infinitely more than you ever will. And if you put them in his care and his love, it's going to be okay. It's going to all be okay. So that's my care note, Good Enough Parenting, Abby, A-B-B-E-Y, Press. I'll have a link up for that too, which is kind of exciting. Just always so amazed at the things that the Lord allows me to do. This whole weekend was one of those, I can't believe the Lord's allowing me to do this kind of thing. And, you know, what's the Lent connection to today's show, my little recap of my trip to Minnesota, is really like the whole trust. Like that was a running theme throughout everything. Trust to get me on the airplane, trust to get me through Logan Airport. It's like it's never fun to go through the airport where, you know, 9/11 pretty much originated from. Like, that's just a hard place to be. You just never know what evil lurks around you. And just to put that aside and not let it stop you from doing what God has asked you to do, that can be really hard, especially when you have anxiety, like anxiety girl over here. So, oh, and to add to that, you know, all the open wounds on my hands from the eczema, which is just feels like it's getting a little better, but it's still pretty ugly and pretty nasty. You know, I love having my nails done, and I haven't been able to do that. Like, the Lord has really stripped me from these prideful things. Not that getting your nails done is bad, but for me, it was definitely a thing of pride. Like, how pretty my hands were, how pretty my nails were. Like, I wore, a rosary thumb ring, and I'm sure that there's moments of pride in that, too. Like, oh, look at how holy I am. There's a rosary thumb ring on my thing, my ring on my thumb. So no jewelry, no rings, no bracelets, no necklaces, nothing I can wear. I'm just completely stripped, and my hands are very vulnerable, which, you know, when you struggle with germophobia, and you got to trust. Like, I see how, you know, how the Lord could totally use all of this to answer my prayers to how to treat him. Well, I should treat him very nicely because he's God and all. I can see how, you know, it can all be used, but still I have to step out in that and cooperate with that. Say, Lord, I feel like you're trying to teach me how to trust, and this has been my prayer, but goodness gracious, I don't like this. I'm not really crazy about the plan. I have a better plan. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you about this. All right, I'm going to just do it with you. This great, Holy Spirit moment. Okay, so if you're not driving, close your eyes for a minute. This is this wonderful exercise that we did this weekend. So close your eyes for a minute. Now, I want you to imagine yourself approaching a horse with Jesus alongside of you. Now, you and Jesus are going to get on this horse, and you're going to take a little stroll on your little horsey, big horsey, whatever you're comfortable with. Now, I want you to picture you and Jesus standing there beside the horse. Now you get on the horse. Picture yourself getting on that horse. Now Jesus gets on that horse. Just sit there for a minute and picture you and Jesus on that horse. Where is Jesus sitting? Where did you put yourself in relation to Jesus on that horse? And here's the really important question. Who's holding the reins? Now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Guess what I was doing? I had Jesus behind me and I'm holding the reins. I think I was the only one of the 25 women in that room who was holding the reins. Yep, I had complete control. Like, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to go with you wherever you want to go, as long as you go where I go. Like, my plans are better than your plans is not the scripture. It says God's ways are not your ways. God's ways are higher than your ways. God's plans are not your plans. God's plans are higher than your plans. Big lesson for me, just a huge aha moment. Whoa. Some people said they had Jesus behind them, but he had the reins because he felt safer there. Like his arms, like if he's behind you, then his arms can be around you and you're fully protected. But his hands were on the reins. And that was, you know, an okay way. I thought that was a beautiful image. And first I was like, yeah, that's what, oh no. I mean, that's what I thought at first, like having his arms around me, being protected. But then I couldn't deny my hands were on those reins. So that trust thing is huge. And I feel like I totally only trust if God's doing what I want God to do. And again, that's not how this is supposed to work. That's not trust in the least. You know, having anxiety and not embracing the life that God has for me, embracing the joy. During the weekend, we went to, at the end of the conference, there was Mass, and Bishop Cousins from St. Paul, Minnesota, was the celebrant. And there's something he said that I just can't shake. And he said, the amount of joy that you have in your life is equal to the amount of trust that you give, that you will allow yourself to God. You know, like it's commensurate. Your joy is commensurate to how much trust you have. Like, I feel like I'm not as joyful as I could be, should be, because I know that I'm still really struggling with God's plans for me. Like, are they really for my good and not for my woe? As Jeremiah 29:11 says, is it really for the abundance that he promises, abundant life? Because he doesn't promise us good here. He says, you will have troubles. I have conquered the world. Great. But you're still going to have troubles. And he tells us, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross daily and follow me. I forget. Luke says one and Matthew says the other. What Luke just says, pick up your cross, and then Matthew says daily, or vice versa. Either way, I don't really like my cross. I'm afraid of my cross. I think part of my problem is that I'm afraid of my cross being one of these other crosses I see lying around. You know, this weekend I met some amazing, amazing women, you know, women who have lost children, who have lost spouses, who have lived in great poverty, who have battled cancer, who are battling cancer, who have had, you know, diseases and loss and all those things that I just live in absolute fear of. Lord, don't let that be my cross. Don't let that be my cross. And then I spend more time worrying about it being my cross than just embracing the life that God has for me. And I went to confession, and that was part of my confession. I live in anxiety. I live in constant fear and anxiety. And here I am professing the love of God has. And I know that God loves me. I've come to know and rely the love that God has for me, 1 John. But yet, I struggle to embrace it. You know, as Bishop Cousins says, my joy is really absolutely equal to my trust, and that's pretty minimal. And that's not what I want. Like, my trust in God, because I cannot control anything but my love for God. I cannot control anything but accepting him as my savior and embracing him in my life. That's the only control I have. And that's a good thing, because when I do that, when I fully surrender, God is going to bless that. He is going to multiply my joy, my hope, my strength. And that's one of the things I'm hoping during this Lent that I see more than anything, is how in listening to his word, reading his word, getting to know him better, I can hear it quicker. I can be closer to him, you know, stripping myself from some of the things that definitely distract me and keep me from hearing him, you know, the television and, you know, and even social media. Like, I'm not coming off of it, but I definitely have to think about how much time I spend on it, where I can put my time wisely. You know, do I get lost on WebMD like I did last night? Like, that's not okay. Like, I shouldn't be there. God's like, you're fine. I sent you the blue butterfly. Didn't you see it on Big Bang? You know, like, here I am worrying about something and I'm watching Big Bang Theory. And I say to in my heart to God, Lord, I know I'm okay. And I just need to see that blue butterfly just to have that assurance that you hear me. And here I'm watching TV and I'm praying on the commercial. I come back from commercial and there's Penny, and she's wearing a butterfly shirt with a blue butterfly on it. Godsidence. I couldn't make that happen if I tried. But yet, I'm the girl who doesn't trust God. Right? What's wrong with this picture? You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alice Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking about my wonderful weekend trip to Minnesota for the wine conference, the Wine Minnesota conference. We're also talking about preparing for Lent. It is here. It is Ash Wednesday. I have to say, this is going to make you laugh, but one of the things I don't actually do is go to Mass for Ash Wednesday. It is not a holy day of obligation. I was going to go to noon Mass, but I happened to be Ash Wednesday, it's Wednesday, so I have, adoration. The adoration at the same time as Mass, the noon Mass. I'm not a morning person. I know I should have dragged myself out of bed, but I was up until almost 1, getting things ready on the internet, on my social media side, because I wasn't as procrastinating. If you were listening earlier, you heard my internet went down. So anyway, I was up really late, didn't make morning Mass. I have adoration at the time of the midday Mass, and then my daughter has to go into bed by 7, and so 6:30 Mass isn't really advantageous. So for the last 3 years, I have not gone to receive my ashes, but it's not a holy day of obligation, but you know, you would think that somebody who really loves the faith as much as I do would really want to kick it off with receiving Jesus and receiving her ashes, but I will spend it sitting with Jesus in adoration. I'll be praying for all of you. If you have any prayer requests, you know, always I am open to prayer requests. Go to reconciledtoyou.com. At the top, you'll see the little, you know, all the tabs that I have, and one of them is prayer request. Click on that. You can send it anonymously. You can always send them to me through Facebook, through Reconciled to You or Seeking Heart on Facebook. Lots of different ways to get me prayer requests, and I will bring them with me to adoration. I go every Wednesday and Friday. And when my husband's not in deacon school, we go Thursday evenings. So just because for me, I mean, it's obviously going to Mass and receiving Jesus, like being in communion with him one-on-one, is just a beautiful opportunity and experience. But, you know, I'm just not a morning girl, you know, just not an 8 a.m. girl. If we had a 9 o'clock Mass, well, that wouldn't work either, because then I couldn't be here with you. But, you know, to get that opportunity to sit in heaven, because really adoration is when heaven, wherever the Eucharist is, heaven is, because the Eucharist is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And Jesus, you know, when where he is, there is heaven. So earth and heaven collide in that moment of sitting in adoration. So it's like our foretaste of heaven, as Saint Teresa of Avila said. So to be able to sit there amongst, you know, all the angels and the saints and the, you know, named and unnamed, I have no idea how many of my family members have been given, you know, the glory of heaven, and they may be there with me. I just feel their presence. I feel such a joy. There is joy sitting in adoration. So I'll be doing that today instead of going to Mass. And so if I can bring your requests with me, send me a message. Again, go to reconciledyou.com and just click on prayer requests, and I'll be happy to pray for you. You can do that any day. It doesn't have to just be today or a day that I'm going to adoration. You can send me something anytime. We're talking about trusting, lack of trusting, you know, just trying really hard to embrace what God has for me. And that was, I was telling you about my confession, you know, that confessing how much I distrust and I fear and I have anxiety and my penance. This is the first time I got this penance. Well, I always get told, well, I've been told lately, I shouldn't say always, but lately I've been told more and more to renounce, you know, get behind me, Satan, was actually what he told me to say when I started to feel these feelings, these fears, these anxieties. Get behind me, Satan. That's not from God. God wants to give you peace. He wants to give you life. He wants to give it to you abundantly, joy, hope, all those good, happy feelings, like those things that give you encouragement. Those are from God. Those other things, not from God. And so to renounce them, just to say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of anxiety and go, get behind me, Jesus. Get behind me. No, get, see, look at me. Get behind me, Jesus, and let me get the reins. Do you see? Wow, I have some stuff to erase from my brain this Lent. No, Jesus, get in front of me. Let me follow you. Get behind me, Satan, and not on the horse. Get off the horse. Give the reins over to Jesus. Get Satan off the horse and really ride into the sunset with Jesus. That's where we need to be going. And letting go of those fears, those anxieties, those inadequacies, those, one of the things I had seen just before I went away was this great comment someone posted, I think, on my Facebook page that said, many forests have been planted by the nuts that squirrels forgot they planted. And, you know, you think this funny little quip would just kind of come and go, but really it's become very profound to me when I realize that the seeds that God plants, the people that I've met, that they planted my heart, and even me perhaps planting in other people's hearts, you know, we don't know what we've done. We don't know where we've sown or what we've left behind, but the Lord can turn it into the most beautiful things, a forest, a flower, grass. He can, food, raise up wheat, you know, he can feed us with it. So that's been kind of on my heart. And when I don't trust God and I don't, you know, don't know what he's doing, I don't have to know, because great forests have been erected from little squirrels that didn't know what they were doing either. So struggling with that trust and being told to, like, you know, just renounce it. Like, that's not from God. Let it go and embrace what God has for you. So that's what I'm doing this Lent. I am absolutely trying to embrace the blessings that God has for me. And that's a good thing. There's a power in that prayer. We think about how, you know, there was a blizzard expected for this conference this weekend and all these women praying and just asking God to have mercy. I mean, there's been many people who've seen a storm coming and prayed for it to go away, and it hasn't. You know, there was, met a couple people this weekend from Louisiana whose homes were destroyed in Hurricane Katrina. You know, they prayed pretty hard for it not to come, but, you know, the Lord made good from it. And that's another thing that trying to understand. That's what I put out on my Facebook page. I took the picture of the squirrel, a cute picture of a squirrel with the anonymous quote there, and then just added Romans 8:28, for we know that God, you know, brings good in all situations for those who love him. Allison, abridged version of the Romans. You know, but there is power in prayer. I've come to the conclusion that in all, the answer to every single prayer is peace. Every single prayer is answered by God with peace. Might not be what you asked for specifically, but he knows what you need. He is the God of the universe. All part of that trust thing, that submission to his will, because his will is good. His will is always for good, for greater good, for your good. And the greatest good, of course, is to be with him in heaven forever. So to be not so stuck and worried about what we think is good for us and what we want here, though we can always ask. I mean, he's our daddy. Who's not going to ask their father for good, right? But when we don't get what we want, to understand that God has a bigger and greater plan. You know, my kid might come to me and ask for candy. Now, candy in itself isn't bad, but let's think about how they could ask for that candy and when they're asking for that candy. So my son comes to me 3 o'clock in the morning and asks me for candy. Whether he's asking for one piece or the entire bag, I'm going to say no. It's not the perfect timing for that. It's not a good time for that candy, even though that candy is a good. I may give him that candy later after lunch the next day. And I may give him only one or two pieces. I'm not going to give him the whole bag. Even on Fat Tuesday yesterday, Mardi Gras, I'm not going to give him a whole bag of candy, even though, you know, we're fattening up for the fast. Still not good. So there's the understanding, and God, as our parent, just as we as a parent to our children, understands when something is, the timing for something is right and when it is wrong, when it is good for them and when it's not good for them. If my son was a diabetic, my decision would be very different, because even though candy in itself, it's a good, might not be good for him because of his sugar levels and because of his disease. So, you know, not everything is good for every person. You know, for some people, like I'm doing Weight Watchers and I'm meeting a lot of people who have food triggers. Chocolate is a big one for most of them, and they can't just have one, because not only do they wipe out the entire bag of chocolates, but then it moves them on to the next thing. It triggers them into a food frenzy or eating frenzy, and they know that that's a trigger, so they can't ever have chocolate. So God knows what's good for us, when it's good for us, the amount that's good for us, and he gives us only, He wants us to only have what's good, so that we, his beloved daughters, his beloved sons, his beloved children, are taking well care of. Like, you wouldn't want your child to be harmed. You want to protect them. I mean, I'm a helicopter mom, and my kids are 21 and 18 and 11, and I'm still a helicopter mom. I want to protect them. I want what's good for them. And I can see things quite often that they can't. I have insights that they don't have because of my age, because of my wisdom, because of the gift of discernment that the Lord has given me. And God is the greatest parent. He could, his generosity is never outdone. He, you know, if we who are good parents know not to give our kids snakes and rocks, as the Bible says, I know, again, Alice in a Bridge version, how much better are the gifts that God is going to give us? But they might not be what we've asked for. And he only knows, why this is given me. Like, the storm may come, or the cancer may come, or the death may come. He knows why that was allowed, because it has a greater good attached to it. And always that greatest good, the greatest good ever, is to be with him in heaven. And all of these things, when we embrace them, we allow them into our hearts, grow us closer to him. They give us strength. They build spiritual muscles. They really help us to embrace God. And that's, again, what Lent is all about, that sacrifice, that stripping of ourselves, letting ourselves grow closer to God in this time. We come back, I'm going to share a little bit. I'm going to move a little bit past what I got to do this weekend and share a little bit about my Lenten plan. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Happy Ash Wednesday. Can you say that? Happy Ash Wednesday? I don't know. Welcome to Lent. I'm so excited. I know, I'm a dork. I can't help it. I love Lent. I just feel like there's like this overflowing abundance of grace as we all sacrifice together, as we all work, you know, to get closer to Christ during this time. I'm very blessed doing a ton of retreats, women, mostly women. No, that's not true. I think there's a couple co-ed. Anyway, doing a ton of week Saturday morning retreats, pretty much from March 11th through I think May 6th. Go to reconcile2.com, click on events, and see if there's anything near you. If it's not near you, give me an email. Let's get me there. Let's bring me in, and let's get more people talking about forgiveness and the spiritual the grace trifecta of prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Those are the two I'm kind of focusing on this year. And that trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make straight your path. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. One of the things I was saying in the last one about how my penance was to, I don't know if maybe I even get this out, but my penance was go and pray the Our Father three times. And at the Our Father, where it says, give us this day our daily bread, he wanted me to change it and add, give me a love for the crosses you have, Lord, for me. Not the crosses I'm making up in my own head, but the actual crosses. Give me a love for those. And it really got me thinking throughout the rest of the weekend, you know, what are my crosses? And, you know, I would see someone would tell a story and I'd be like, is that my cross? And I'd hear this little whisper in my head, in my heart, in my soul, that's not your cross. That's not your cross. But to embrace the crosses that God has for you. And, you know, little by little over the weekend, I'd see, you know, my cross of my eczema, of my hands, the cross of my fear of germs, the cross of being in the middle seat on the airplane. Like, I thought for sure that when I booked it, I booked an aisle. That's what I always do. But somehow, and just before I got on the airplane, I was texting my friend Kathy, and I said to her, I just feel like my little seatmate's going to be stinky. I just knew they were going to be stinky. I just new. And so I'm sitting there and I've got one guy on the left coughing and hacking and not very good at covering his little mouth. Then he coughs and sneezes into his hands, which makes me absolutely crazy. And then the guy on the right was stinky, super, super stinky. And there I am in the middle thinking, I'm going to love this cross. I'm praying the rosary. I pray the rosary before I take off every time. And I'm praying the rosary and I'm like, Lord, how do I love these crosses? Like, how do I love the stinky guy? And how do I love germ guy? Like, how am I supposed to love this? And, you know, just letting him teach me, just letting it go, giving it to him, surrendering him, laughing a little bit at myself, and just asking him for that love. Like, this right now and that moment is my cross. And not to get too far ahead of myself, love the cross of the moment, love that daily cross. And that cross right there was to spend. Luckily, the plane had a tailwind and we got there, a 3-hour flight in 2 hours and 10 minutes. Thank you, Jesus. So love the cross that you're in that moment. Love the cross of the stinky guy. Love the cross of your illness, of whatever that is, eczema or allergies or cold or the flu. I've seen so much throwing up all over the internet. I'm so sorry if you're one of them. Please know I pray for you every time I see that, but please stop posting it. Anxiety girl doesn't want to know that the flu is out there. You know, love my poverty, love my anxiety, love those crosses. Of course, love my anxiety, the cross of my anxiety, but don't stay in it. That's another thing, you know, like love these crosses for now, but don't stay in them. Don't let them weigh you down that you can't move on. So what am I going to do this Lent to move on from some of my crosses? Oh, excuse me. I got a big plan. I'm a Lenten overachiever. If you haven't been to Reconcile to You lately, go to reconciledtoyou.com, click on the blog. I have a great post about being a Lenten overachiever. And I don't set myself up to fail. Everyone feels so bad for me. You know, getting all this advice. Oh, don't feel that you have to do all this. And, you know, you're overdoing. I'm like, no, this is how I'm called to Lent. I love overachieving. And I don't feel bad if I don't get to it. Like, I have this meme that I send out every Lent. And it says, you can't fail at Lent. Sometimes life is Lent. And so if I don't do all of these 6 things that I'm prepared to do, then I don't. But I like to have goals. That's just who I am. So I have this prayer, fasting, and almsgiving as part of the Lenten mission, the Lenten journey. Those 3 things are the 3 ways that we're called into experience Lent: prayer, fasting, and giving. And so for the fast, I always give up television because I am the person who procrastinates to begin with. And then when I spend too much time watching television, I don't get all the stuff I need to be done. So I wanted to make more time for Christ. So the best way for me to do that is to give up TV. Now, I'm also the person who, if you count from today to Easter, goes, wait, there's more than 40 days. And then if you read the catechism, you recognize and realize that Sundays are a day of solemnity. They're a celebration day. There is no fasting on solemnities. I can't say that word, but it's a fancy word that means a celebration day. Sundays are one of them. So Sundays don't count during Lent. If you give up something during Lent, you can have it back. If you're going to go the whole time, then God bless you. I'm impressed. Me, not so much. I will be watching television all day on Sunday, but to still make it a sacrifice, because nowadays you can DVR all your favorite shows. I'm allowing myself only 3 shows that I can DVR and catch up on Sundays. And of course it's NASCAR season, so I'll be watching some racing. I missed the Daytona 500, but since I'm not a Kurt Busch fan, I'm kind of okay with that. But I will be not watching television to give more time to Christ. I'm also, my family has decided together, my husband and I, to not spend money. And if you know that me, I've been really struggling financially. We've been working really hard, thanks to John and Evelyn Bean. And Compass Catholic Ministries, really working hard to learn budgeting, kind of control our finances, get out of debt, just really working on that. And Lent seemed the perfect time to try something that we know we need to do, but we haven't been able to do. And that's to create a budget, stick to it. And a budget that doesn't have all of the bells and whistles that we've been still allowing ourselves, and then wondering why we're only getting out of debt a bit by bit. So we're only going out to eat on Sundays. We're going to be very fruitful. We're going to be very frivolous and conscious of our budget for food, for our meals, for coming together as a family and cooking, because we all hate to cook, but we all like to eat. You're not shopping, you know, making our list for Walmart, sticking to it when we get there, not doing internet shopping, just really being. And then our plan is at the end of the 40 days at Easter time, we're going to give 10%, because there's almsgiving is part of the Lenten journey. So whatever we're able to save, 10% of it, we will tithe and give away to a charity. And this is teaching us discipline. It's also teaching us a lot of discipline, and I need discipline. I'm not a very disciplined person, so I definitely need some discipline. This might also be considered a fast, but I'm going to be doing the elimination diet. This elimination diet for eczema, been suffering now since June, really struggling to embrace this. But I want to do it more as like a prayer, looking at this as a prayer as well. So the not spending is a fasting from spending, but really that's our almsgiving, where this is a fast. And, one of the things that was said to me this weekend was that some things can only be undone, some sins and some strongholds, some behaviors that we kind of turn to can only be overcome by prayer and fasting. And so for many different reasons, I will be fasting, doing this elimination diet, taking out eggs and peanut butter and almonds and almond milk. And I love all kinds of like nuts and, just pretty much eating air. I'm already no gluten and no dairy, but I cheated a little bit here and there. So none of that, no cheating, just really living this bare minimal elimination diet for 40 days, giving it to God, letting him be my food. And I'm also going to be doing decluttering 40 days, 40 bags in 40 days. White House Black Shutters is the website if you want to get the printables off there. Giving away stuff, that's also a way of living a charitable being. Then my prayer, Walk in Her Sandals, of course, the book that is you can get from CatholicVineyard.com. Wonderful bundle. It gives you a book and the journal written by Sarah Chrismeyer that I absolutely love. It's just such a great companion to the already incredible book, and doing the Gospel of John at my church. So really looking at all these different ways to bring more prayer in, to give more time to God, spend time in his word, listen. I got the Magnificat for free at the wine conference. I'm going to be reading that every day, reading the daily readings, reading other people's blogs who are on this journey with me. I'm actually really terrible about reading blogs. I belong to the Catholic Women Bloggers Network, and we do a blog hop. You can get that off of reconciledto.com. About 20 or so women shared their ideas and insights for Lent. Really good stuff. ReconciledTo.com, CWB, and Blog Hop. But reading their stuff, that's also going to help me overcome some of my strongholds for envy and jealousy, and really just admire what they have to say, learn from each other, journey together. So thrilled that we're going to be doing this together. If you want any prayers, again, going to Adoration shortly, go to ReconciledTo.com, click on Prayer Requests. You can do that anytime. And we're going to just be really diving into Lent for the next 40 days. I'm so thrilled again that you joined me today. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.